guys ready for a good word? All right, you guys take a seat. It does kind of sound funny to say Pastor Bishop. Eh, it's kind of like a, I don't know, Pastor Bishop, Bishop, Pastor, whatever. It's all good. It's all good. You guys ready to be encouraged today? All right. Hey, we've been doing a series called Reliable. Have y'all listened to that? Yeah, anybody? 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 Hello? Yeah, come on. Reliable, we started out with, what did we start out with? What did you start? Edify. It was edify and then exhortation. So Pastor Craig taught on edify. Pastor Frankie taught on exhortation. Today I'm going to teach on encouragement. Encouragement. So you guys ready to go? Yeah. All right. Ooh. Is that me? That's the Holy Ghost. That's right. All right. That's my Darth Vader, yeah. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, I got a real nice shiner right here. Y'all see that? I don't know if y'all can see that or not. Good. I hope you can't see it, but the joke's been going around that my wife hit me, you know, because I smarted off to her. She didn't hit me. Listen, she's pure as the wind-driven snow. I was actually in my closet, and I was looking for something. You ever done this? You're looking for something, and I just bent over to put something down, and something hit me right between the eyes. And I mean, like, tears coming out of my eyes. And Frankie was with me. He was down the hall. And I said, Frankie, I said, I think I've done something really dumb. I pulled my hand down, had a little blood on it. And I said, yep, yep, I did. So anyways, my wife didn't. We didn't get in a disagreement. Just clearing that up for you guys. She won. I lost. Okay, let's move on. Encouragement. Let's talk about encouragement, guys. Encouragement is to give support and hope by raising one's confidence with courage, strength, or belief, right? To raise one's confidence. Guys, we all need our confidence. Amen? Guys, God's word always is always, always, always in whatever area we need in our life. And listen, here's the deal about encouragement. You have to go get encouragement, guys. Listen, you can't step back and expect people to come to you and encourage you. You need to go get it. Now, I don't mean you need to go sniffing around people and saying, oh, did I do good today? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you need to get in the word and get encouragement. It's in the word. And a lot of times we want encouragement to come to us. We want it to come from somebody, but we never read the word. Are you with me? Amen. And we'll sit around and listen. What will happen is we'll get all upset and offended because no one encouraged me. But the reality of it is, guys, is that you can go get encouragement. And many of y'all have it in your hands right now. Many of you do. Your phone. We've got every translation in the world right there, right? Many of y'all have an actual Bible, and we can look into that. Listen, look at Matthew 4:4. Jesus here. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word of God, guys, the word of God is very, very good for us to live by. We can live life and get nourishment off of the word of God every single day. Amen? If Jesus said it's good enough for him, then it's good enough for us. Amen? And we can seek that out and we can get encouragement every single day by reading his word. What about the opposite of encouragement? Discouragement. Discouragement. Listen, a feeling of no support and hope, a lack of confidence, courage, strength, and belief. Have you ever been there? Just don't have confidence. I think we've all been there. Just discouraged. No courage, no strength. We're full of unbelief. Here's a few things, guys, that happen when we get discouraged. One of the things is disengagement from the church. Did you know the enemy will come to us and he will discourage us and try to get us to draw back from fellowship? Maybe you had something happen. I've seen it, you know, someone maybe you get divorced. and feel like they're going to get condemned and put down and they're full of shame. And yes, there's hurt and things in there, but they think the answer is to draw back from the church. That's not the answer. That's where discouragement is waiting for you. You need to come to church and get around believers. You need to come to church and get encouragement. You need to get in the Word and get around people that know the Word. Don't draw back. Man, people will make mistakes and do things. Think, oh, well, I got to stop going to church. No, that's a trap and a lie from the enemy. It's a snare. Another one is lack of purpose. I know Pastor Craig mentioned that a while ago, a lack of purpose. Do you know, in our society today, in the schools, we teach things like evolution. You say, well, what's so bad about evolution? It teaches lack of purpose. Think about it. You evolve from the goo or whatever and eventually got to you. But what purpose do you have in life? You live and you die. When you die, you die. You're just dead. There's no purpose there. Absolutely no purpose. And look at our society, guys. And I'm not condemning you if you like to play video games, but how many people do you know are 35, 40 years old, they live in their parents' basement, they're playing Xbox 6, waiting for Xbox 7, they have no purpose, a terrible job, they have no direction in life. Yeah, but they've been through our public schools, they've been educated real well, they think they come from monkeys, so what's the point? What's the point? I'm going to party, and I'm going to do what feels good, and I'm going to have a good time because when I'm dead, I'm dead. That's what the world believes. Lack of purpose. What happens? Discouragement. You wind up discouraged. Life is just a big discouragement. That's not what we want. You know, trusting in man's ways instead of God's ways will bring you discouragement really quick. The book of Proverbs, I believe it says it twice. There's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it brings destruction. Yeah, we trust in what man says. We trust in the latest fad. We trust in this. We trust in that. Oh, they said on the news this. I'm going to believe that. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on just a second. It might be good for a season, but destruction is coming and discouragement is on its way. Oh, I tried it man's way. Why didn't it work out? Think about in the business world. In the business world, what is it? Man, I'm going to climb over the top of the bodies that I assassinated with my words and all these things so I can get to the top. I'm going to put you down, and then they get to the top, and they think, oh, wow, I've made it. And then it's empty and hollow. It brings discouragement. Guys, and flat out just not knowing God's word brings discouragement. It just brings discouragement. If you're sitting around and you're discouraged, get in the word. Get in the word. I'm telling you right now, you can go to YouVersion. It's an app. Go to YouVersion. It'll have all kinds of devotions and things for you. You can get a scripture a day. My phone, it buzzes at 9 o'clock every day, and there's a scripture on it. Every day. Look, oh, there's a scripture. You know? And don't just say, ah. Read it. It may be just what you need for that day. Right? We got to consider our source, guys. What well are we drawing from? Because we're all drawing from a well. We're all dropping that bucket down in the well. We're scooping something up. We're pulling it out. And most of it, we're taking a big old drink of it. So what is it? Are you drawing from the way of the world? Are you sitting in front of TV all day, watching CNN, even Fox News, all this stuff that's supposed to be good for us, all this information that's just flooding us? We're sitting on our phone, and it's like 10 different things going. I catch myself, and I'm going to tell myself a little bit. I'm watching Netflix. I'm looking at Facebook, and my kid's got a movie on TV, and I'm trying to do all three at once. I'm going nuts. I'm like, got to turn something off, right? Can't be doing too much of that because I'm going to be drinking from the wrong well. Drinking from the wrong well. So think about it. What is your source? What are you drinking from? Is it God's Word? Are you getting into the Word? And I'm not saying you have to sit there with your Bible open and read 24/7. Right, but we have apps, the Bible, it will read the Bible to you. But then we're like, well, I ain't got time for the Word. And then why am I discouraged? Because you're not getting in the Word. And it's readily available for us all. Amen? Amen. Let's look at some areas, guys, that we all need encouragement in. as believers. We all need encouragement in these areas as believers. Number one, we need to have faith and not fear. Faith, not fear. I'm telling you, in today's society, the things that are going on now, fear is knocking on more people's doors than ever before. Amen? And we need to push back big time and not answer the door. Next, to have strength, courage, and confidence. Strength, courage, and confidence. We all need to be encouraged to have strength, courage, and confidence. And lastly, we need to all be encouraged to never give up. And I know it sounds kind of cliche, but listen, it's the truth. When life gets going and hard things come, guys, you need encouragement to not give up. Never give up. Amen? All right, well, let's get into this. Faith, not fear. Listen, you have no authority over what you fear. Did you know that? No authority. What is the definition of authority? Listen to this. This is powerful. I love looking at definitions. It just opens things up, brings understanding. Authority, the power or right to give orders. Now, we're not talking about ordering each other around, right? Me having authority, I mean, there may be an instance where I'm someone's boss, yes, I can give orders, but we're not talking about that, amen? We're talking about demonic things. Right? We're talking about the enemy coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have authority over that. And I can bark some orders. Amen? Listen to this. Make decisions. You have authority to make decisions about your life. And when you're afraid, you're not going to make good decisions. Matter of fact, at times when you're afraid, you won't make any decision at all. And we can't be there. And the last part of that is, and enforce obedience. Enforce obedience. Obedience to who? To what? How about your thought life? 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is out of the Passion Translation. This is a very familiar verse, but let's look at it from a little bit different angle. Amen? We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude God. Over your life. Amen? Amen? We've got to do that. Because listen, the attacks ain't going to stop. Some people think, oh, they've got victory when the thoughts quit coming. Victory. On the team, no. But you got to learn what authority you have, and you got to learn how to walk in that authority. And when fear comes, when COVID comes, you say, uh-uh, not today. Amen? Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you. How many of you believe that? Who would believe that? Isaiah 35. Man, this is a good scripture. I know I've read this before, but I don't remember reading it. And when I read this, I said, man, this gets me fired up. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. You know, God says over and over and over in his word to be strong and not fear. Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Over and over again. He's encouraging us, guys. That's why the word is reliable and it encourages every time we read it. Be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Who's that sound like? Anybody? Jesus! Come on, man. Y'all are like looking at me like, who's that? He's prophesying about Jesus right there. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. When I read this, I was like, God, this is awesome verse, man. Can't believe I didn't remember that. And he told me something, and it kind of confused me for a minute. He said, that's Old Testament mentality. I said, what are you talking about, Lord? Think about it. He says, I am coming. Listen, he's already come. And here's the deal. He said, I'm coming to destroy your enemies. I'm coming to save you. I'm coming to do these things. He's already come. And he showed me this is the difference about this. He said in the Old Testament, he said, I had to come save them. I had to come do this and do that. He said, but now I'm in you. Amen. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this gets me fired up. But he says, don't be afraid. But why now not be afraid? Because he's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You have weapons. See, a lot of times we set back when we're afraid and we say, God, come save me. We want God to do all the work. And God says, listen, it's not for me to do all the work. We do it together. We're in partnership. Why would he fill you with his Spirit for you to set back and watch him do all the work? That's not God. Why would he give us the word to encourage us to do nothing? That's not the truth. The truth is you have the power inside of you because he lives inside of you. You want the lame to walk? Lay hands on the sick. You want the deaf ears to open? Pray for them. You want the blind eyes to open? Lay hands on them. Yeah. See, Jesus, here's the deal. When he came, yes, he died for our sins. I get that. Sometimes we focus so much on that, though, we forget what the real reason was for him to come. He came to destroy the works of the devil. How did he do that? Well, he restored everything back to the way it should have been in the beginning. When you get born again, you're not just getting saved so you can go to heaven. You're getting restored back into a son and a daughter with power and authority. And fear has no place there. Fear has absolutely no place there. Then we go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and Jesus, just a little simple statement. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. It's simple. Believe what God said. Right? And you know the whole story. Y'all probably read it before. He goes right into that and says, hey, you want to move this mountain? You speak to it. You speak to the mountain. You don't wait for me to do it for you. Jesus is like, okay, guys, y'all watch this. Mountain move. Whew, there it goes. No, he said, you do it. You speak to it. What do we speak to it? The word. The word. Come on now. Have faith. Believe what God says is true. Remember, faith is the perspective. Faith is how we view life. It's how we see things. Mark 9, 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. What does that limit us to? All things means all things, does it not? It's interesting. This story here, this is the story where Jesus, his disciples are out ministering and they try to heal this boy and they couldn't do it. And then Jesus comes along later and it's like, what's going on? And the father comes up and says, well, I brought this boy, my son here, he's demon possessed. I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. And Jesus says, bring him here. You know, can you heal? He's like, can you heal my son? Can you do it? Well, to him who believes, all things are possible. Right? And then he says, get out. And what happens? The demon gets out. Just like that. Listen, the disciples had no authority when fear entered their heart. This is what I believe. I believe the disciples came. They saw that boy. They saw that boy convulsing. They saw him throwing a demonic fit. And fear entered their heart, and they had no authority over that demon. That's what I believe. And they could do nothing. And they were probably huddling, going, oh, what's going on? Oh, my gosh, look at him. Ah. I don't know. He may have lunged at him. He may have gnashed his teeth. He may have spoken a weird voice. I don't know. But I believe the disciples got fear in their heart, and they could do nothing. And Jesus had to come along. Luke 17, verse 5. This is a story here where the disciples come to Jesus and said, hey, when somebody offends me and sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive them? Seven times? Yeah, and what does Jesus say? No. Not seven times. He said 70 times seven. 490 times. And what's their response? Luke 17:5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. We need more faith. What do you mean forgive that many times? We need more faith. Now, I've never had anybody come against me that many times in a day. Man, that would be a rough day. That would be a bad day. But increase our faith. Listen, if the disciples need their faith increased, don't you think we do? And I'm not even, you know, here's the deal with that. I don't want to get into theological things and this and that, but I believe we have the faith. The problem is we just need to learn how to operate in it. You have faith. Are you skilled in it? Yeah? That's the deal, right? Because listen, you can have a sword and you can go in your backyard and chop the tree and cactuses and things and think you're all cool and everything. But that don't mean you're a warrior, right? And I love watching like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and things like that. A lot of those battle scenes where they're fighting with the lightsabers, you know, they choreograph that. They're really doing that. Those guys had to train and train and train to get those steps down to do that. How much training have you done with your sword? And you want to be a warrior? We got to be skilled in our faith, guys. Got to be skilled in it. So back to the story where the disciples couldn't heal the man or the boy, and the father comes to Jesus, heal my son, Mark 9:24. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But then he says what? Help my unbelief. Come on. Let's all be honest. Let you know you've been praying for something, someone who's sick, some situation, and you're like, I believe this is going to happen. But in the back of your mind, you just, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? I've been there. You guys apparently have been there too. It happens. So here's the deal. What do we do when fear just won't go away? Yeah. Check this out. Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man of men. I mean, this guy, the things he went through and the things he did for the kingdom of God, I'd be hard-pressed to say anybody's done that in a long time to the extent that he did, beaten, shipwrecked, all that. But look what he says here, 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. The Apostle Paul says, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen, Paul came in fear and trembling. Paul came in fear and trembling. But here's the deal. When fear won't go away, you do it afraid. See, Paul was afraid, but he did it anyways. He come in fear and trembling, but he didn't say, and I backed away and went back to wherever I came from. No, he said, I came to you in fear and trembling, and I still spoke the word. And I didn't speak it real well, and I didn't do just great at it, but I spoke the words that God gave me to you, and it was in power and demonstration of power. Not so that, you know, you would have some wisdom of men, but so that you'd have the wisdom of God. Amen. Guys, when we're afraid, do it afraid. I can tell you testimony after testimony of things that I've done through my life where I've been absolutely terrified. And there have been times where I didn't do stuff that I should have done because I let fear paralyze me. But I'm telling you, the first time I preached, my knees were knocking like nobody's business. I couldn't even hardly speak. When I was in high school, junior high, you couldn't have paid me to get up in front of someone and speak. Terrified. I would take a zero on a paper before I got up and read anything that I wrote. I'd take a zero. That's how afraid I was of speaking in front of people. But one day, listen, I got in college and there wasn't no getting around it anymore. We had this teacher, his name was Dr. Saylor. I don't know if any of you guys know him. He was our speech teacher. This guy was crazy. He wore like rainbow colored toe socks and sandals. Guy scared me to death. That guy was serious. I remember we had 9/11 happened. It was crazy. 9/11 happened. We're all shocked, crazy. And we're like, okay. And he's like, no, we're having class. We're like, wait, but do you know what's going on? No, we're having class, and you guys are giving speeches today. We're like, ah, this is great. You know what, though? I did it afraid. And you know what I found out? It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Devil's such a liar. Don't let fear stop you, guys. Do not let fear stop you. You do it anyways. You do it afraid. You do it enough times, you'll quit being afraid. You'll find out it's not that bad. Walking out our faith, afraid or not, guys, will develop in you three things: strength, courage, and confidence. When we walk out our faith, whether you're afraid or not, you're going to start developing a strength and a courage and a confidence in your walk with Jesus. Amen? And I'm not talking about, you know, a confidence in yourself and what you can do. I'm talking about confidence in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Let's look at this. God's word encourages us to have strength. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. Very familiar scripture, but I'm going to read the scripture before the one we always quote. And then we'll go into that one, right? Listen to this. He gives power to the weak. How many of y'all have been weak before? Because I'm like, Lord, help me. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. How many of you need strength increasing? I'm not talking about in the weight room. Amen. I'm talking about just to get through life. We all need our strength increased to get through this life. And then he goes into, even the youths fall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We need to learn how to wait on him. We need to learn how to go to him. We need to learn how to read his word and gain strength from that. Amen. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Man. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10. This is Paul. You know, Paul, he talks about the thorn in the flesh and how he had this thing that just kept, and he's just like, oh, I can't get rid of this. And he keeps going to the Lord and, help me, Lord, take this thing away from me. Over and over and over, he goes to the Lord, and the Lord answers him. But here's the deal. A lot of people think Paul was sick, and I've heard he had like Asian eye disease or something. Like, how do they even know that? I don't know. But we know what was going on. If you read the rest of it, you know, right? He was beaten. He was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was snake bit, all that. You know what? Good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Courage means that you're doing it afraid. Y'all know that, right? That means that it's in your face, you're afraid, the giant is there, whatever, and you're terrified and you do it anyways. People on the battlefield that had great courage, you know, they saw that the enemy was coming, and they charged into the enemy anyways, right? That's courage. That's courage, and that's what we got to have, guys, is even when things come. And see, God knew that we would have issues with fear. God knew that it would be a weakness of ours, that fear would come knocking. He knew that. So what does he do? He's saying, have courage. What do you mean by that, Lord? Do it afraid. Do it afraid and crush the head of fear. Amen? Confidence. Philippians 1:6. I pray with great faith for you because I am fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you and will put his finishing touches to it until the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I have confidence in? He's not done with me. He's working on me. He's maturing me, and he's not just going to leave me. He's going to finish the work that he's doing inside of me. Amen? Do you have that confidence? You need to have that confidence, guys, that listen, he's not forgotten about you. He knows everything you've ever done, everything you said, every hair on your head. And he is for you. He is so for you. That he says, if you will press in, listen, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done in your heart. I'm going to get it done in your mind. You will think like me. You will have a heart like me. Amen? Man. Proverbs 3:25-26. You will not be subject to terror. That's a good sentence to start out with, especially in this day and age. You will not be subject to terror, for it will not terrify you. Nor will the disrespectful be able to push you aside, because God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation. Man, I'm telling you, this world is crazy. It's crazy. You need to have confidence in Him. You need to have confidence in His Word, that He will keep you, He will protect you. Amen. Lastly, never, ever give up. Never, ever, 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 ever give up. 2 Chronicles 15:7. Listen to God encouraging us to not give up. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, or your work shall be rewarded. You ever feel like the things you're doing, am I really making a difference? Yes, you are. Are you really doing what you need to be? Yes. Don't give up. Don't let your hands get weak. Sometimes, you know, I feel like this too. Like I was telling them, I'd play baseball and I would bat in the batting cage for hours and my hands would get weak and tired. And you know what? When my hands got weak and tired, I really was ineffective at hitting that ball. I wasn't following through good. I wasn't getting a good smack on that ball. Sometimes, though, we overdo things in the wrong areas and stuff, and we're not intentional with our purpose and things, and we end up wearing ourselves out doing the wrong things. And we need to get our hands on that bat, and we need to practice as long as we need to practice, and then we need to put our hands to something else. Amen? Amen. All right, last scripture. 1 Corinthians 16:13. God again, God says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Be brave and strong. You hear the Lord calling to us? Don't give up. Be brave. Be strong. See, God's word is always reliable. It always brings encouragement that causes reassurance in our lives. What is reassurance? This is so cool. It's the action of removing our fears and doubts. It's the action of removing our fears and doubts. God's word brings encouragement that removes our fears and our doubts. Amen? I think every one of us, we need it. We need it all the time. We need it. So, what scripture is your go-to scripture when you need encouragement? What is it? Think about it. Oh, somebody's throwing things out. I have to have 40. You don't have to throw them out. I'm just, you know, think about it. Think about it. What areas do you need confidence and strength, encourage in today that you can consciously go to the Father and say, this is what I need? And what are some things maybe that you've been waiting for the Lord for a long time and you're ready to give up? What are some of those things? Don't give up. Go to the Lord and say, I remember. Remember that thing I'm waiting on. I'm not giving up. Amen? You got to stand to your feet.